adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Will Arnett is here tonight from Arrested Development. 9:30, Sunday night. That's tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The show, by the way, is, you know, and when you and Jason Bateman came on here...
This is just after the premiere,
8 weeks
I think,
ago, maybe, yeah.
It was like a week after we premiered.
Yeah. 2.5 months ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. You guys were like, we got a good show, but who the hell knows? But it seems like, the critics have spoken. It's finding its fan base. Yeah?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think at that point we were kind of still making the show in a vacuum, and now people have responded pretty well to it. It hasn't been a huge ratings hit yet. I say that because I'm expecting it.
Yeah.
But
there it goes.
Yeah.
Tonight's it.
Yeah, we missed it.
I heard Will, let's see.
A commercial.
I heard Will doing a VO.
Yeah, I hear him all the time.
Yeah.
What the hell?
GMC.
No, it wasn't GMC. This is NBC. Or is it now? Does everyone just sound like... Here's what I mean. It's like... Eventually, every pro wrestler just started to sound like the same guy because that's how you sound as a pro wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. You guys all sound like the guy that started with that Winds of War in ABC. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
North and South. That guy's voice became the prototype.
I miss Ernie Anderson on ABC where he'd go, someone's killing showgirls, and Dan wants to know why. So I was like, I'd be watching on Thursday going like, I got like kind of like the look of that myself.
For voiceover guys, the way to do it is to sit at home and listen to the way the guys who are making money do it.
Right, right.
And then you go and you just imitate them. And if you imitate them, they're like, great, you're way cheaper.
Right.
And you're right here.
I swear it was like, no, it wasn't Judging Amy. What the hell? It was some sort of NBC. But I mean, do you do NBC? Do you do anything on NBC?
No.
Well, then, man, this guy was ripping you off, or man, were you ripping this guy off?
I was probably ripping him off.
But it's just, it was comical. Like, I TiVo'd it. I ran it back three times. Like, this week, I'm judging Amy. It's like, wow.
She has to become a rapist.
Yeah.
In order for Amy to stop an international jewel thief, Amy is going to have to become a rapist.
Which is odd because you wouldn't know why that would have to be. But
well, that's why you got to watch.
She's going to do it, yeah.
Why would someone have to become a rapist to stop counterfeiters?
Seemingly illegal.
You would think, where's the correlation? Yeah. Well, why don't you tune in and find out.
On Judging Amy.
That's right. And Will Will is, well, it's just too bad. What's my show? Oh, the...
Crank Anchors?
No, Crank Anchors, Tuesday nights. Thank you. 10:30 on Comedy Central. No, a Hack. That's right. It's too bad Hack didn't make it because always the best.
This week on Hack. In order to reach these kids, Hack will have to become a rapist.
Now listening
always funny.
Listening to that voice, I now know the guy you mean. It is on NBC, and he does NBC daytime. And he's like the seemingly lowest sounding, most sort of daunting guy. And it's for NBC daytime, though.
Yeah.
It's like,
no,
then
I know.
None and all new days.
You're like, Days of Our Lives?
How many Z's and days?
Yeah.
This week on Days.
It's like he just keeps talking until he runs out of air with each word.
This week on Days.
It seems weird that stop himself at the end of the word.
It seems weird that the networks wouldn't try to develop people that were different just because the convention becomes convention.
Yeah, well, there are a few. If you listen, there are a few different guys who kind of have their own thing. There was that Hal Reiney was the guy who was out of the gate was kind of he was the guy who used to do there are over a million there are over 1 million roads in this country, and each one of them leads back
to Alamo.
Yeah.
You know that, dude?
Yeah, once in a while, the sort of Petridge Farm guy makes makes a stance. Or
Smuckers.
You get the Motel 6.
Or the guy
the
that does Garfield's voice.
Yeah. Once in a while, those guys make a move. You know the guy, there's a guy, well, Drew, you don't listen to good radio.
No.
So you don't hear all the RV sales and that kind of stuff. There's a guy. It's probably a regional thing. We'll get into it off the air, but definitely one of my favorite. And of course, always the dragster guys and the race guys. Those are always
Sunday,
the best.
Sunday.
He's actually one of Scott Mason's friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Engineer or longtime
K-Rock.
What is he over here? Yeah, all
he's
I know is the guy's
mad about K-Rock.
He's got five pagers. Sunday. I always like when they do stuff like some go, some blow. Once in a while, they'll break it down too. Like I like when they get the little novella going in the middle of the race. They go, surely Cha-Cha Maldani wants that trophy this year, but Big Daddy's got other ideas. Sorry, Shirley, not gonna. It's like that. Did you overhear a conversation between Cha-Cha Maldani and Big Daddy Don Garland?
Snake the mongoose.
Yeah, I like when they shift gears too. They go, they'll all be there. The Texan, Billy McEwen, TV Tommy out of the Chi-Town Hustler.
Oh, that's a skill when they do that. When they take the little mini breaths in between and give each guy a different vibe.
Right, and then they gotta shift gears again because Sunday's Fox Night. And foxes are coming in free. I was like that one. It always used to be Fox Night at OCIR, the Orange County International Raceway. English leather girls are there signing calendars. Papa, do run on the infield, especially erected stage. Qualifications, 12 noon. Eliminations under the lights. Like that one.
That was the 70s.
I liked it when they tell you where the freeways collided, too.
Right.
Ascot Raceway, where the 110, the 710, the 405, explode! Wow. Gee, seems like there's some rubbernecking going on there.
Do you think that was going through the minds of the engineers when they were putting the freeways together, too?
Yeah.
These three freeways are going to explode.
Look. I understand there's going to be a lot of action over at the International Raceway. I don't need a lot of action on the way there. I need to think that the freeway's going to explode. I take your word for it. It's a big event. I don't want to blow up. I don't want the station wagon to catch on fire on the way there. Is that cool?
Yeah, let's just get there.
Yeah, it was great. They'd have like Fox on the Run by Sweet playing in the background. Oh, that was great.
Them were the days.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. One more good one.
Oh.
Where the guy, there was one great one where the guy explained what nitromethane did.
Oh, yeah.
He'd go, nitromethane. Drop it on the ground, stomp on it, drop a match on it, virtually nothing. But put it inside a 15-to-1 compression Hemi big block Mopar engine. Liquid dynamite! Liquid dynamite. Isn't that called nitroglycerin, by the way? Liquid dynamite. Uh-huh. Anyway, explaining what we could do with our nitromethane. Chris, you had something. Jackie?
Hello?
Hello.
You're 22?
22, yes.
What's up?
Hi. Is this Adam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, I'm 22, and I'm dating a guy that's 26, just turned 26, and I've been dating him for, like, almost a year.
Yeah.
And sex is really good between the both of us, but everything else is not. Like, intimacy is pretty bad. And, like, he even has a hard time acting like he's my boyfriend in public completely. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, I'm his first everything. I'm his first girlfriend. I'm his first, like, you know, sex and everything.
Really, really? He was a virgin before he met you.
Yeah.
Sure, why? Are you sure of that?
Yeah. No guy brags about that.
What?
Nobody brags about that.
I am positive about it. It's not something that he'd brag about. It's just something that's a fact. Like, he's very into computers. Like, he's not a nerd, but, like, he's... What?
Yeah.
Starting to fit. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's coming together.
Yeah, he's, like... I mean, he's just completely into computers and mechanics and all that stuff.
All right, it's coming into focus. But why are you with him?
Calling all nerds. Yeah.
Well, that's a good question.
Why are you with him? Yeah.
Well, at first, he was just a really interesting person. Like, he doesn't have a problem speaking his opinion.
Hey, Jackie, I get that at the beginning there was some passion and there was interesting and there was, you know, decent.
It was, yeah. It was a little bit more passionate at the beginning.
Okay, now it's over.
Jackie, you got a big ass?
Do I have a big ass?
Big gal?
A little bit.
All right. Hold on a second. I'm just, you know. Look, the nerdy 26-year-old computer guy, he doesn't get his hymen busted by some young hottie. These guys are damaged goods. They got the stink of failure and aqua velva on them.
Well, now, why do you think he's pulling away then? Why isn't he hanging out with both fists?
He doesn't know how to act in a relationship.
Or did somehow now he feels like enlivened?
Grandiose? Yeah. Jackie?
Yes.
All right. What did you have a couple of bad relationships before this guy?
Well, before him, I was kind of, you know, like, I'm a lot more experienced than him, obviously. Not necessarily bad relationships, just ones that really just haven't worked out.
All right. All right. Well,
this one isn't working out either, it sounds like.
Yeah. What's it been, a year? How long has it been going on?
It's been almost a year. It didn't start off as a relationship. We just started off as, like, just hanging out friends. And then we started getting, like, intimate. And, I mean, like, if I could just, you know, see it as just sex and only sex, it would be completely fine. Because sex is really good with him. But everything else is not.
Really?
Like, yeah. The sex is great. Like, I don't know. Maybe I trained him well or something, but, like, it's really good.
Well, he gives her the old mechanical pencil and the keystone. And
that, so that this drives him
nuts. You'd think because he works with his hands so much, he'd be, like, better at, you know, foreplay or something.
Oh,
but,
no.
Jackie, please.
Got nothing to do with that.
Come on.
Look, here's the thing, Jackie. There might be a situation where he looks at you as damaged goods or... Not damaged goods
entry level,
which is like, look, I don't have any experience. I'm not going to marry some chick who's got 10 times more experience than I do.
Nor am I going to marry the first
experience.
Hang on. Nor am I going to they're going to have marry somebody that I'm getting started with.
Yeah,
I got some work to do.
Yeah, right.
So this is a prime example of why buy the cow when the
milk
when
is
not
free.
Not even buy the cow. It's just guys.
No offense.
He's
behind the curve, too. He's 26. We might as well be 16.
Right.
All right, Jackie, feel free to dump him.
Yes.
Here's the deal.
I think that's what we're all feeling here.
Here's the deal. You say to him, look, here's what I need. If it's within reason and he doesn't meet your demands...
Then that's it. If he can deliver, if he can be intimate, if he can be available, if he can get things back the way they were, or motivated to be back the way they were. I mean, if he's not motivated to do it, that tells you a ton.
Does he call you his girlfriend? Oh, she's gone.
I'm
going to say no.
Does he call you that?
Does he call me his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
All right, that's
good.
It.
That's
he's
bad
just
sign.
Hanging around.
Bad sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
They're
both young.
She's just a keypad for his mouse to bounce on.
By the way, she's probably just getting out of her bad boy thing anyway. This is good. This will get her out of that.
Oh, she's out all right.
The computer guy's
but she's found that she can have good sex with the bad boy and with a good boy, and that's all right.
Oh, how obnoxious would this guy be? He's like 26. You've known him for 10 years. He's the biggest puss in the world. All of a sudden, he's getting laid, and all of a sudden, you got Ricardo Montalban. What happened to the Dungeons & Dragons nerd smoking Tipperillos, got an ascot, wants to fight all the time?
Same guy.
I know. Oh, it's horrible when guys get laid. Scotty?
Yeah.
You're 27?
That's correct.
What's happening?
First of all, I'd like to say I'm a big fan of your show. Adam, miss you on the man show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Dr. Drew, I have a question. My wife and I, we've been married for about 3 years. And before then, we were...
By the way, Scotty, nice strategy. Build Adam up and then just let him stew. That's good.
No, that's all right.
Great job.
He's a big fan. Nothing wrong with that.
All right, go ahead, Scotty.
Like I said, my wife and I have been married for 3.5 years. And before then, when we were fiancé, sex was great. I mean, we would have it like 2-3 times a day, sometimes more on the weekends. But now that we've been married, we are lucky to have sex at least twice a week, and maybe sometimes once a week or once every 10 days or something like that. I'm just wondering if it has to deal with our sex drives or if it's because we're so used to our bodies that we know what turns us on and turns us off or something.
No. Wait a minute. You're both in your late 20s?
Yes, sir.
All right. Like, any children?
We have one child.
When did you have the child?
2000.
4 years ago.
Right.
Is that when things started tapering off?
No.
No, not really. I mean, it was a slow and gradual process. I mean, we were married 8 months before we had our first child.
All right. Does your wife work?
Yes, she does.
Listen, a lot of this is just not just as I think Adam's going to advocate that you're sort of getting into your stride.
Waiting to die.
Yeah.
You're on deck.
But you're also...
Well, you're in the hole.
Getting tired. You got a child. You both work. I mean, it's hard to create the time and create the space in one's day to do this.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking about these guys. Guys like Drew of Supreme Passion, where they're like, "Hey, I've been with the same woman for 52 years. I can't wait to get home every night to
good
make
times.
Passionate love to her." It's like, what? Really?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, look, yeah. You get a boner once in a while. You gotta relieve yourself. You got to take care of the old lady too. But you start getting into a little rhythm, and that rhythm.
But don't you go through?
That
don't you go through
the butterfly?
Don't you go through stages where, like, sometimes you're having sex a lot, sometimes you're not, and people feel the need if they're told by the sort of the perception is out there that if you're not doing it once every 5 days on the money, then you're not having.
Bring up an interesting point.
Yeah.
Is that when we all were growing up, the whole idea of sexual expression was sort of a rebellion right. against social norms. Now people are trying to keep up with some abstract concept
right.
we're all supposed to be doing, especially young people who feel flawed if they don't keep up with this concept of what sexuality
here's
is.
Here's the problem. By the way, I said fly to the butterfly, and I meant fly to the bumblebee.
We all understand. We translate it.
Glad to translate it. Here's my point. Here's the problem. The problem is if one partner wants it 5 days a week and the other partner wants it twice a month,
that's where there's a problem.
That's where you got a problem. If you guys are just slipping into a twice a week, once a week rhythm, and that's your rhythm,
that's
and
good.
Everyone's happy,
yeah.
so be it.
The average is 1.5 per week. That's the average in the country.
So what's the half? A BJ?
Yeah, if it was, with the fee, that's one and a half right there.
I'm always wondering about how that works, like when they do 2.7 kids, you know.
Or two
like,
hand jobs,
is
right?
Is it a dwarf or Asian kid? Who's that 0.7, you know?
And as you age, these kids are in their 20s, but you age, your biological rhythms change too, and then menopause
right.
hits in, and manopause hits in. These things affect all that. So.
Yeah. All right.
So there you go.
It's good times.
It's good times.
Yeah. And look, here's the deal, fellas. If you want to get your wife to kick it up a notch, the only way to really get her to do it is to, I hate to say it, you got to start listening. You got to start feigning listening, number one. You got to start, like, being attentive. You got to, here's the deal. Like, here's the problem. Guys want, well, stop doing that, Drew. Guys, you're making noise. Guys want more sex, so they're like, what can I do? How could I talk my wife into giving it up more? The only thing you're going to do, it's like getting a raise in your allowance. Don't go bug your dad. Just go out and rake the lawn and see if he flips you an extra $5 at the end of the week.
Right.
And it might not happen the first week. Right. It might happen the second week. But start listening. Oh, here's one. This is tough. Be nice to her friends. That's the other thing. You know what I love about women? Women are like, you saw Cheryl and it was like, you didn't even know her. She's my best friend. And you're like, I'm just sorry. I said hi. Yeah, you just said hi. And then that was it. I was going toward the, you know, it's like, you got to go kiss the ass of their goofy friends, you know?
Well, that's bad for you.
I know. And then, I know. Because eventually it starts, here's what, then it distills.
Your best friend, you don't say two words to.
Here's the other thing. Well, here's the thing that's comical about that whole thing, which is guys don't particularly want they're women talking to there. It's like, hey, what were you and Mark engaged about? Well, nothing. We're just talking about you. Well, Jesus Christ, you're talking for like 45 minutes over there. Really sorry. The guys get pissed, and the women are like, you didn't even give her a hug.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't hug my own mom. You know? Well, she's my best friend. It's like, and then eventually here's where the trouble starts.
I'm not allowed to crack jokes in front of my wife's friend. She thinks that I'm too harsh.
What?
Right.
Yeah. Well, not allowed.
How long have you been married?
Since August.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
This is what happens. Yeah.
Already.
You didn't even have. And then you go, and then they pull this one. Well, I'm nice to your friends. I don't know why you can't. And then eventually, as the argument starts stretching out, eventually, here's what ends up coming out. Well, it's just, you know, my friends are dynamic, interesting, educated folks. I mean, they're you know, comedians and authors and writers and the personalities. I mean, they're interesting folks, whereas, you know, I mean, your friends are great gals. It's not, what? So your friends are better? Well, I don't say better, but
you're only friends with people like that. That's the only thing that's important to you.
Yeah, Yeah, you gotta love their friends. Like, look, only reason we're talking is because we're having sex. You want me to go over there and talk to
them
for an hour?
There's a decent book out there right now called "What Could He Be Thinking?" by a man named Gurian. About the
great
differences
general.
In the biological functions of the male and female brains. It's laid out in a digestible, in a readable way.
Here's the deal. Look, so here are the beats, fellas, you want to get laid. And let's stop me if I'm wrong. Listen, or at least pretend to be listening. Like, they come in, they start talking about what went on at work. Just hit the pause on the TiVo or the DVD or whatever. Mm-hmm. Put stop. Oh, boy, they'll go nuts. Stop that and turn around and look at them. Mm-hmm. Don't just look at the set. Some compliments. Also start carrying your weight around there, you know, and leave your socks everywhere. Talk to their friends. Ask them about stuff that you really don't care about, but ask anyway. Yeah, Sheila at work. How's that going? Because, remember last time you two wore the same sweater and there was a little bad blood.
It's showing an appreciation for the things that are intrinsically important to them, even though you know in your heart they mean nothing to you.
But showing an appreciation
for that, such as putting your S away as opposed to leaving it out. And making a point.
It's more than just nodding, too.
Being a parent. Yeah, I know your wife's listening, but it's like being a parent. It's like, Daddy, guess what I made at school today? We took a toilet paper roll and put a Santa beard on it. Now, if that was one of your buddies, you go, hey, St. Tard, how about you get your fat ass out of the way so you finish watching the TV? When you're a kid, you got to be like, oh, my God, that's beautiful. I got to put that up on my dashboard. That's amazing. All right, let's face it. Guys aren't great at that, but that's what you need to do.
Yeah, but on the other hand, let me make the contrary
opinion. Thank you.
That what are you looking for from women?
Right.
Wait. Yes, you are right. But listen to what we're looking for from women. Hold on a second.
What are we looking for?
We're looking for the beach. That's what you want. You want them to show an appreciation for your biological needs and that what your priorities are in life. That is what you're looking for.
Priorities. Now, look, we want to be left alone, and then we want a little sex. Let's face it. We don't want to be hassled.
You don't want to feel bad for
them.
You like being alone? Okay, great.
Right.
Here's all set up for you. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. You appreciate. You understand.
No, we don't ask anything.
But I'm getting busted on the higher levels now. Like I used to be. I'd say, okay, yeah, that sounds great. And then we agreed. She told me something a while ago. Said, okay, great. And then I ran into these people the other day, and they said, you guys can't come to this party because you've got to do this other thing. And I said, yeah, I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry.
I called
my wife, and my wife said, are you an idiot?
Yeah.
I told you 5 times in your face, and you nodded.
I know. We got to talk off the air.
Yeah.
You need a calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
got to take a break, too. But here, let me say this to all the ladies listening out there. I'm trying to put this tactfully, but we would tend to listen more if what was coming out was just a little more entertaining. You know what I'm saying? Like, I talk to Jimmy all the time. I have perfect retention. The guy's funny. He's interesting. He's articulate. He's cutting edge. He's witty. I know, Drew, you and I talk. We don't forget the stuff we talk about.
I don't think that you're way off. I think that if you could devise a way for women to glam up what they're saying, to put some bells and whistles on it, you could revolutionize relationships between men and women.
Communication anyway.
Yeah. You know?
No, this is what...
Jokes.
This is what my leaves a message on my... She leaves a message on my phone machine that's like 8 minutes of just pure nothing. It's like, I would rather her pull taffy next to the phone.
You really need to
think
of it.
And then puts the message in at the very end, which I've hung up already.
Yes. You really need to think of it as two people speaking slightly different languages. You need to be translating
more
as you're
interesting
speaking.
And
whatever it is, we need to translate back. When we offer something, it needs to have an appreciation for what their perceptions are.
All right.
Of what we're saying.
All right. Let's
take a break.
Let's take a break. Maybe we're spoiled. We're entertainers. We're on the radio. I keep wanting to yell. My mom tells me, so I'm like, let's pace it up now. Now, where's the art going here? This is.
You give her a note session after her message.
I give her some notes. I circle some things, highlight some other things. All right. Will Arnett is here tonight. He's from Arrested Development, Fox, Sunday nights, 9:30. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Will Arnett is here tonight from Arrested Development. Sundays, 9:30 on Fox. And I'd say one of the let's say, one of the more critically acclaimed comedies of the new season. Maybe the most, Drew.
Breakout.
No, no, not breakout comedy. No, no, no.
I like words like that. I like words like breakout.
Yeah. No. Not a breakout. Critically acclaimed.
A breakout would have to have the big ratings?
Yeah, someone would have to see it.
How about this? How about this? How about this? How about a critical breakout?
A critical breakout. Yeah. That's good. That sounds like you got a zit on prom night.
Sure. You're right. Then, on Critical Breakout.
Oh, that's a great show.
It's a great show.
All you got to do is then you work the word. You got to get a good name like Drake.
CBO.
Like you go, then, on Critical Breakout.
CBO,
Drake
Wisconsin.
Goes undercover.
Yeah. My question is, after they're going to do the CSI in New York now.
Right.
They're doing it with Gary Sinise. When are they going to start going to secondary cities?
Yeah.
Well, eventually,
I've
heard experts, that they get into Duluth and they get
into Freeport.
Yeah. They go all over the place, and then eventually it's CSI Sherman Oaks in Burbank Glendale.
They just start breaking it down.
Yeah. So there's potentially 70 of them just within CSI Los Angeles.
I like that. I like it. Get down to congressional districts. You get down to streets.
That's right. Yeah. Parks. Yeah. All right. Next on CSI Sherman Oaks cul-de-sac. just at one couple of houses there. All right. Let's, Drew, still never, we never found out the difference between a dead end and a cul-de-sac other than all the guys I knew were in the flat, crappy area of the valley, lived in dead ends, and the people that lived up in the hills lived in cul-de-sacs.
Didn't we decide that, like, alleys and streets end in a dead end, but roads and lanes have cul-de-sacs? And
The house at the end of the street, the cul-de-sac or the dead end, if it's got a sofa outside, it's a dead end. If it's got a Lexus, it's a cul-de-sac.
There's more hope in a cul-de-sac than there is in a dead end.
Cul-de-sac increases the value of your home. Dead end decreases it.
People who move into cul-de-sacs are people who are half full. Glasses half full folks.
Right. Hey, what name is that? James.
Yeah.
You're 18.
No, 17.
All right, hold on a second.
Nice attitude.
Yeah.
Try number five.
James can hang on for a while.
Five.
Line five. All right. Lori?
Hello.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's happening?
I was wondering, should I have like an intro to my question, or should I just flat out ask my question?
Flat out ask.
Okay, I'm 18.
Hold on. Ironically, that is an intro.
I was just thinking that was your intro. That's it.
Because either way, there's 11 words kicked back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Lori?
Yeah.
Go ahead, baby doll.
Thank you. I was wondering, I have a crush on my teacher. I was wondering if I should maybe pursue a relationship after high school with him.
How old is he?
He's about 40.
You should keep this as a fantasy, because if he responds to you and creates a relationship, there's something very, very wrong with him.
And we're going to address that next week on Critical Breakout.
Yeah. So, Lori, it's great to have a fantasy. It's normal. But to act on it would be not normal. And for him to reciprocate would be extra not
normal. Well, wait a second. This is, you're 18. So is this junior college?
No, high school.
No, this is my last year of high school.
Oh, did she say high school teacher?
Yeah, she said, should she, after high school, pursue a relationship?
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to do anything while you're still in high school.
No, she's saying when she gets out, should she pursue him? And I'm saying it wouldn't be as ethically a problem, but still wouldn't be good. And most schools would have a policy against this, but be that as it may, forget the school issue. A 40-year-old and a 19-year-old, no.
All right, but how does it work, by the way? I mean, how do you pursue it when you get out?
If the guy's a creep, he'll make yourself available.
But I mean, do you have the discussion with him on the last day of school?
Or an email, or like something like that, I guess.
Emails change everything out of
an email.
It sounds like there may have already been an email. What do you think?
No.
Because, we used to do it through carrier pigeon. Remember that? Rock through the window.
We called them messenger pigeons in my day.
Hey, Lori?
Yes?
How do you know that he's interested in you?
Well, I almost had a class with him last year, beginning of my senior year, but I dropped it because I was very unsure of what could happen between us, and I didn't want anything to happen.
So you feel like he...
Wait a minute. How do you know? You just told us what you did after you knew he was interested.
How did you find out you were interested?
He was interested.
He was interested, yes.
Because he treats me differently from everyone else. It's kind of hard to explain. Usually sometimes when we have conversations, they're a little bit off-colored.
Well, I'm already concerned about this guy's, yeah, delightful guy, on two fronts. Mm-hmm. One is inappropriate language with a student. Secondly, the basic way to maintain ethical standards when you're professional, when there's a power imbalance, like politicians, physicians, teachers, these sorts of positions, is you treat everyone the same.
Right.
And if you start treating someone differently, that's already an ethical boundary violation.
So you try to F everyone who comes into your office.
If that's your policy. That's your policy.
85-year-old...
You can't get
male.
It's got to be the same.
Same as the hot stewardess.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
All right, Lori. And Lori, by the way, you sound like you're going to be pregnant.
Yeah, within 6 months.
Yeah, within 6 months. Just take it easy, baby doll.
He is a bad guy, and if you're going for bad guys and you don't see that, please look into it.
All right, but just she's kind of in a hurry to be. She's a grown-up lady. You know what I mean?
Bad guys.
Don't worry about her, too.
Yeah, of course. Well, she's going for the bad guys.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk to her for a second. Lori.
Yes?
What are you doing after high school?
I've already been accepted to a college in the nearby area, in my area.
What college?
Berkeley?
A state school.
Berkeley. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Focus on what are you interested in? Design?
Psychology.
All right. There you go.
Well, part
focus
of,
on that.
Lori, if you're going to be in the clinical realm, you're going to have to get some psychological treatment. So go ahead and start now before you go down a path of that proves more destructive.
Shrinks are nuts like cops. Like cops are criminals, right?
Can be.
For the most part, right?
No, not for the most part, but unfortunately a lot.
Yeah. I don't mean cops are criminals, but they got that side to them.
There's a reason people go into certain things.
Just like shrinks, are mostly nutty. Yeah, they get sucked into it. Christine?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
You're into the Wicca religion?
Yes.
It's fantastic.
What is that?
Okay.
That's fat chicks get together and try
I'm
to get...
kind of like chunky.
Skinny chicks to have sex with them by, whipping up a potion.
Seriously?
No, it is. It's fat... Wicca should change their names to Fat Chicks Who Recycle. Because all they ever say when we talk to them about it's about the earth,
right?
It
used to be considered witchcraft. And no, it's not witchcraft. It's about spells that are generated from the earth's natural forces and whatever.
And it's lesbian base. Is that the idea?
It's lesbian. It's a heavy set lesbian crowd that follows the Wiccan religion.
Got it. All right.
Go ahead, Christine.
That is so not true.
Yeah. Plenty of super hot. A lot of super hot blondes on the tennis team into Wicca, huh?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's your question?
I got this girl in my third period class. She's Christian, and like all her friends are too. Uh-huh. And during class, they're like pointing at me and telling me I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah. All right. Well, stop advertising.
I don't advertise. I don't even know how they found out.
Well, maybe they saw your broom or your pointy hat.
How do you think they found out?
I don't know.
Now, look, here's what this is. This is the chick version of goth, which is angry teenagers, pissed at their parents. They then sort of lash out in their dress and in their attitude and in their behavior, and then society makes fun of them and turns on them. Because, look, if you're 16, you're a 16-year-old dude and you start wearing eyeliner... The guys on the football team are going to say something when they pass you in the hall. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And now you're angry at the world.
I forget where I was. Somebody told
Thank
me
you.
That.
That's how it is.
Listen, that there's a documentary out there about sort of alternative goth lifestyles and stuff. And he put together a string of 50 kids and asked them, why do you dress the way they do? And every single one went, because I want to be an individual. Because I'm me, I need to be an individual.
Right.
And they're all dressed with the crazy stuff. Because they're all dressed the same. With the same crazy hair, the same crazy eyes.
Is it always too the people with all the tats and the earrings are the most normal and boring of I always find the strangest people are the most normal looking.
Yeah. Well, they got to keep it under wraps. I mean, if you're Jeffrey Dahmer, right. You can't be a goose stepping around with a black trench coat on or you're going to get pulled over. You part your hair to the side, you put on some nice horn-rimmed glasses, and you keep it cool.
Right. You can have a bumper sticker that says, I break for cannibalism.
Right. If you start looking like a weirdo, you're going to get popped.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, Dahmer or Ted Bundy or something, put on the cardigan, part the hair to the side, and put on them loafers and slow it down. I mean, you got to do that. If you start acting like a maniac, you're screwed. All right, listen, I got to talk to poor Christine over here. Christine.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Where's Daddy?
He's home.
All right, what's he think of the Wiccan religion?
Well, he's kind of come to accept it. I mean, he's not. Yeah. He doesn't really like it, but he accepts it.
What are you paying him back for? Is he a bad guy?
Kind of.
A little alcohol or sexual abuse? What'd he do?
He's an alcoholic.
All right.
How about going some Al-Anon and connecting with people that have shared the experiences that you've had?
How about doing something real? How about all you idiots do something real for a change? All you religious tards out there. Please, just do something real, would you? Get a little therapy. Go to an Al-Anon thing. Go confront somebody or go do something, you know? Just stop rubbing your beads, you idiots. You guys are such tards. I'm just tired of it. Everybody can sit around and hear about the Passion of Christ all day long, and meanwhile someone's blowing up something in Spain in the name of Allah. That's like, would you idiots just get a little therapy, for Christ's sake? Just do something real. Don't worry about Wicca and Allah and Judaism and Christians. Just go do something, would you? Jesus Christ.
It's a little more complicated.
More complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated. And why is a society, do we just sit, we're like a religious punching bag, this society. It's like,
well,
these people have the right to believe. Not all Muslims are, you know, just the ones that blow stuff up. But Mel Gibson and the Christ. I think Christ had a beard. I say he was clean shaven. He was a black. We just sit and talk and talk and talk and talk. And everyone goes, hey, idiots, get to work. Get some therapy, you idiots. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with all you pussies? Are you that scared? Are you that frightened to death?
But some
are you that big a coward?
No, but listen,
you can't handle it.
There is some of that.
Everyone's got a plan. Jesus, he's got a plan for you. Oh, Allah, he wants to talk to you. Are you kidding me? What do you guys think? You think there's a plan? You think someone knows who you are, other than your parents, and the cop is going to pull you over next week? Nobody cares. Just start taking care of yourself, being good to your kids, and get to work, would you? And then you die, and that's it.
But that was based in Judeo-Christian ethic right there.
Oh,
okay?
Jesus Christ.
So doing
so
that, you'd be happy with. And B, a lot of people, you know, while you and I put a lot of value in the individual, a lot of people put a value in the community that they're part of. They identify with that more than themselves.
They're cowards. They're cowards.
they're cowards.
They're scared to die. They don't want to die and be nothing. That's what it all is.
There's a plan.
Oh, Jesus, he's got a plan. Well, your two-year-old just got run over. Man, God's got a plan. God's got a plan for you. You guys could be reunited when you die. Are you kidding me? Come on, people. Use your head. Just get a little therapy, read a book or two, be good to your family, be good to yourself. Don't hurt anybody, and get busy.
We will be right back.
What about us atheists? I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about Mel Gibson.
Listen,
I'm tired of hearing about what's going on in Israel. I'm tired of it.
Maybe we're looking for a mythology that fits our current understanding of the world.
These are just primitive idiots.
Yeah, but maybe we're struggling with trying to find something that fits.
You guys are struggling with it. Leave me out. I'm tired of hearing about you idiots. Jesus Christ, just stop it. Or just go blow yourselves up and get it over with. Just leave us out of it.
I'm starting a new religion. It's based on overnight fast national ratings and stuff like that. It's going to be great.
Right.
But it's based in reality.
All right.
How do we do in the demo?
Right.
That's all it is
in this town anyway, Drew. All right. And does anyone really believe? And if they do really believe, why they get so angry when you tell them you don't believe? All right. Will Arnett is here. We'll see him in hell. That's for damn sure, because he didn't stop me. He is here from Arrested Development. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Will Arnett. Very articulate Will Arnett, who agrees with everything Drew and I say. God bless him. That means he's a genius.
Off air.
Agrees with everything. Arrested Development, everyone. Sunday nights, 9:30 on Fox. All right. Let's get back to James, who we're speaking to, I believe it was about 20 minutes ago. I don't like his attitude, so I let him cool off a little bit. James?
Yeah, hello?
No. What's happening?
Nothing, man.
All right, what's your question?
I was wondering if you can, if I could get my girlfriend pregnant with anal sex.
Hmm. How would that happen, do you figure?
Well, I don't know. I heard that from a friend, actually.
Right. Really? Your friend. Now, how old's your friend?
I'm like 16. I love that music.
All right.
That's a bad account. Anyway, but we've occasionally had this call.
I had a great feeling about James, too. I can't believe
it. Yeah, it's shocking.
The roll that dies, snake eyes. Wow. You know, once in a while, you're wrong. I'm big enough a man to admit when I'm wrong, Drew. I had a gut feeling about this kid. I thought he was going to take this show in a whole new direction.
Hey, I guess I was wrong. I told you what pow meant in Hawaiian, didn't I? Did I say this?
30 words, right?
No, I mean, it's finished.
Pow.
So we're always going, pow, that's it.
It's a sound a Hawaiian makes when he comes. That's how you
afterwards.
Know. Yeah. No.
That's it.
When he comes, that's the sound. That's how the sound. It was like, pow. All right, I got to go.
Wouldn't that be great, though? Wouldn't that be great, though, if James had come on and you set it all up and he was all down, and then he said, why? And that was it. Blown you guys out of the water.
Would have been satisfying somehow. Much more satisfying.
Anyway, did it happen?
All right. So,
but anyway, we've had occasionally questioners ask about the idea of things dripping out and getting other places. And of course,
they really ask that. They ask anal sex.
Listen, there's no connection there anatomically, so things would have to sort of get out and go in somewhere else, and there you go.
Yeah, but it sort of can be like how how birds spread seeds. You know that they eat the berries and seeds, and then they fly, and then they crap it out, and then it grows somewhere in a field somewhere far away. You know, I mean, this could theoretically happen, that the semen could actually find its way or drip around, but it
theoretically never happens.
All right, let's
wear a condom anyway during those acts.
The anal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put on an inner tube for that. I mean, that's I want a little something. I want some mil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm talking.
I want mil. All right, Irene.
Hello.
You're 16.
Yes, I am.
Wow, been on hold for 73 minutes, and the show's only been on the air for 51 minutes.
I fell asleep.
What's happening, baby? Oh, thanks.
Thank you for picking me up.
Yeah. What's up?
Okay. Sorry. Okay, let me sit up. Is that okay?
No, you cannot sit up.
No, we'd like you inverted. Put your gravity boots on and hang from the door jamb. It's like a witch.
I was going to say, another Wicca.
Are you into that Wicca, Irene?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Good. That means you're not fat. Fat chicks know what it is.
Is Wicca W-I-C-A stand for something, or is it just the
C-C-A.
Word
Wicca?
It's like W-I-C-C-A.
W-I-C-A?
I'll look it up during the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
it's actually Wiccan, isn't it?
It's the Wiccan religion, but then you would be Wicca, I guess. Or who knows? Go ahead,
it's
Irene.
It's not like standing for something, like someone says...
No, it isn't. Irene, you got about a minute and a half here. Here we go.
Okay, so I was wondering, if you're 16, can you date someone's 18 or 19 and not have sex? Like, would they be interested in you in the old-fashioned way where they would, like, take you to the movies and take you to the theater and you'd feel really pretty and they'd feel nice to you?
Oh. You get a guy shows up with the wax in his mustache, riding one of those bikes with a big front wheel.
Yeah.
Here's the reality. Guys can do that, but they still have, their priority is still the idea of a sexual encounter.
Then how do you wait till you're married?
Well, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
But 16 and 18...
Don't set the bar that high.
At 16 and 18, the motivational priorities are quite different.
Although
you're still at 18, going to still be wanting what you want now.
Now, 16-year-old chicks should be dating 13-year-old guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about... You know, sexually, that would be about right. Yeah. You know, if you're a 15, 6-year-old chick who's not interested in putting out sexually, wouldn't mind a little kissing, a little petting, a little second base, a little cop a feel over the sweater action, you should be looking at a sixth grader.
But
at a guy who's got a couple of units over at the local junior college. That ain't that guy.
Isn't it, though, interesting hearing to what she wants out of a relationship? I mean, take another 16-year-old guy, and that is going to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher to him.
What? Well, here's the thing.
And it's never been old-fashioned, by the way. Am I right? It's never been that way. I mean, guys, the history of the world is that
guys,
men who are 17, 18 have always been trying to get some.
Yes, but they've been able to accommodate a courtship ritual that got completely disintegrated in the 60s.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that girls are still asking for that or some version of it. They need to basically young people need to create a new ritual.
Yes.
What is some sort of dating ritual, something that satisfied both of them a little bit more.
Yeah, they wanted to do this, but society sort of kept them in check.
Yeah, now it's all but everybody wants the same thing. Well, not really.
No.
It's a little bit different than that.
That's right. Well, the reality is we got to take a break, but yeah. A 15, 6-year-old girl who really wants to get it on is usually someone who's troubled.
Yeah.
And a 15, 6-year-old guy who wants to get it on is, possibly the next Dr. Drew. Very passionate, passionate young man. Will Arnett is here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Will Arnett is here tonight. Will is from Arrested Development. That is 9:30 Sunday nights on Fox. Critical breakout. It's reached that level. And it's going to be a breakout hit. Already has a critical acclaim.
Eventually.
Critical acclaim.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's doing good. All right. Let's talk to Michelle, who's 20. Michelle?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I had a question. Like, when I have sex, I can really only orgasm in one position. Like, usually the missionary position. I want to know, like, why that is or how I could change that.
Yeah. So you have a orgasm during intercourse.
Yeah.
You okay. You understand that that's already unusual for a 20-year-old. Most women never have sex during intercourse, and certainly not at 20. So you're way ahead of things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know about that, huh?
Nope.
All right.
Most women require some kind of direct. Most women, some can, like you, have it during intercourse. Some have multiple during intercourse, but most need oral sex, like that.
That's right.
And so the fact that you can only do it in one position, I suspect you will kind of work that out and figure out other ways to do it. And maybe with the same partner?
Yeah.
And you're into that guy and he pays attention and is listening to you when you ask for things?
Well, yeah, right now we're not sexually active, but. Yeah,
you're going to be, or?
Well, I'm just not on birth control, and I'm going to wait to get back on.
All right, good. Smart.
Waiting till what?
Birth control.
All right, good.
Okay. Listen, calling this show and saying, I only have an orgasm. I'm 20 years old. I'm a female. I just have an orgasm in missionary position. It's really like calling like one of those car improvement shows as rancher shows and going, I got a big problem. I got a Ferrari cup holder. Cup holder has a cup in it.
I just won the lottery, but it's all in hundreds.
Yeah. Right. I can't, no one can break them. The guy at the newsstand said he can only go up to 50s. I don't know what to do. Yeah. That's what this is.
Judging by the way Will's enthusiastically embracing your
he knows.
Yes, he knows your analogies.
He's been there.
Yes, Will has had sufficient exposure to understand what we're talking about.
Sure, he's a guy. He's been around. Let me say this apropos to nothing, but I can't be the first guy to bring this up, but I went somewhere yesterday to for somebody's birthday party. This is a woman who teaches a spinning class, and my friend... She was a big fan of mine. And
the one whose birthday it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea was I was going to come deliver the cake to her.
And you knew her personally already?
No, never met her.
And she's somebody else's friend?
Somebody else's friend.
Got it.
Right. So I'm going to deliver the cake because they knew me. They know me. Okay. She's a big fan. So this is
going
to be exciting.
Like you show up at the door kind of thing with the cake?
Show up at her
candles
class.
Candles lit. Oh, God.
Spinning class. So, by the way, the spinning class, my God.
Don't.
Okay.
Just stay with
the cake. Here's the point. So I'm out front of this class with my buddy Chris, and it's like, no, don't, be quiet. The girls are like shielding us from because she's finishing the class. It's going to be a big surprise. There's always a big surprise involved with the birthday and stuff, but they're always the snafu around the candles. Who's got some matches? Right. Who's got a lighter? Do you smoke? No, I just took this spinning class. Okay, somebody's got it. Then you're trying to light the cake sort of covertly and quietly. You know, it's like, get the candles. Get the, she's coming. Get the, I can't get the, use the other candle to light, and the wax is dripping all over the place. And then, the, of course, the person comes and just blows snot all over the goddamn frosting. And I thought to myself, as we're struggling, and I was burning my hand, and it's the stuff, and people are like, hurry. And, you know, you got 9 out of the 10 candles lit, but you got to get the 10th one lit. And she's coming around the corner. I thought, stick in the waxy flame into the dessert that we eat to celebrate people's birthday. Whose genius idea was this? Who thought of this? And when can we end it? When can we have some dignity? Right. You know, there's nothing worse than watching my, you know, 5-year-old nephew just... And then the retard who gets the candles, the gag candles that won't go out, so the guy's just actually... bringing a lung up onto the cake at this point. He has to put a frosting lung, has to be tucked back into him. How much of his matter could end up on the thing that we're all going to eat in the next couple of moments? How about someone take a leak in the coffee while we're at it? Anyone want to blow a snot rocket into the ladle over there? What? Is it horrible? There's fire. The stuff is dripping. It doesn't work out.
I guess the question is: at what point are we going to improve that system? Is that your ultimate question? I mean, can we break out five guys from NASA and say, "Listen, let's figure out."
Here's what I'm saying. Couple things. First off, you gag candle guys. You guys, oh, that's funny.
Criminal.
Those gag candles.
The guys
who sell them, yes. You should only be able to buy them in parts of Mexico.
That's right. Going to go
to Arizona. That's number one. Yes. Look, if you can sell gag candles on every novelty store and every corner, and I can't buy a goddamn sparkler on the 4th of July, give me a break.
There you go. Right.
I'm getting goddamn hepatitis from this cake. Don't worry about my eyes with the sparkler. I'll take my chances. Number one. Number two, the candles don't blow out. They pop and crackle and snap, and the wax pops and flies over. And number three, it's really the fourth or fifth all-out blow that the guys put onto the cake. And by the way, if people are now learning that it's not a great idea to go around shaking people's hands during cold and flu season, how about the people's birthdays in, you know, January and February and just blowing all over the cake? And here's what I'm saying. Age 7, we stop it. That's the cutoff. I don't want candles in my cake. I don't want the guys. I don't want the 45-year-old whose guys I'm celebrating. I don't want candles on his cake. I don't want them blowing all over the cake.
I suppose before 7 it makes sense because people need to share some immunities and they need to be exposed to these things to build their strength. But after I hear the solution, as usual, Adams, you've mentioned many, many times, the solution.
Pie.
Pie.
Pie. If you retards out there had enough dignity to admit you're wrong about cake and that pie's a much... much better form of confection than cake is, then I would be right. And we see no one likes candles on pie.
Doesn't work. Right. Doesn't
it's
work.
Too good. It's too proud. Pie is too proud to take it. Says nay to your candles.
Now listen.
Get them off my back.
Whereas
cake is like, oh please, I'm bent over. Just stick it right in my back. As many as you want. What's the guy? 150? Keep sticking. I'm cake. I got no spine.
Adam, I was thinking
Pie's
about
got
you
a
again.
Spine. It will not accept candles.
I didn't know that Adam hated cake.
I hate cake.
Oh yeah, he likes pie. Yeah, I was thinking about Adam this because my daughter had a head injury.
No, well, hold on. Well, one quick thing. And listen, you
quick.
You a-holes.
Adam,
do not,
quick.
Okay.
That's what I think of when I think about
Adam. Don't call the
quick.
Show and tell me, oh, but what about a beautiful German chocolate with a ribbon of raspberry that you pay $28 for down on Fairfax? Yeah. Of course that's good cake.
Yeah.
But that's not the one that shows up at the party. Right.
Five guys just hung up, by the way. They were going to call in and say that.
Yeah.
It's the sheet cake.
German raspberry. It's the sheet cake, which I claim is just a mispronunciation on the real word that sounds exactly like it that you pussies pick up over at Ralph's. It's just got the white frosting on it that you try to pass off as a birthday cake. That's the one I end up with. I got no problem about the one that comes over from Switzerland and costs $35. No problem. I never see that cake. That cake don't get the candles in it. It's the sheet cake that does.
I was thinking about you this weekend because my daughter had a head injury and had started having these funny reactions afterwards and stuff. And I thought to myself, I started thinking about Adam and mushrooms. And there's you know how everybody knows what deja vu is? Mm. You know, where you think you've seen something before, like you're experiencing something you've already experienced. Well, there's something called jamais vu, which means never seen before.
Farishaka.
No, things that are familiar that suddenly look novel and new to you.
Yes.
And that's you.
What you have when you take mushrooms.
That's right. Like you've never seen it before. You've never seen it before. And it's like you're looking at it for the first time from a different perspective. And
yeah, my whole life
Your life is Jamais Vu. That's
because
right.
Because the wind is blowing and I'm trying to light the fifth candle and the wax is melting onto the 40-year-old woman who's going to celebrate. I'm thinking, really? This is it. She's going to blow all over the cake, and the wax is going to be all over. Not to mention, I've handled every candle that's gone back into this cake, and I just might as well just, like, you know, lick it, put it in my ass, and put it back into the cake.
But I imagine that all great inventors through the course of history
have
suffered from
like
Jamais Vu. That's why they came up with.
Yeah.
So, Adam, I think you're on the edge of inventing something.
Or insanity.
No more candles. No more candles after the age 7. And let's all switch to pie. Because here's the deal. 650 gets you a strong pie. 650 gets you a crappy cake, and that's where it's at. That's where we're at. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that there's not a good cake out there. I'm saying I don't see it at the party. Whereas you go down to 420.
Was she surprised? Okay. Was she surprised?
Yeah, she was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. It's funny, though. She has this cake, and everyone just walks out of spinning class. They just essentially rode the Tour de France in 45 minutes.
Give me cake.
And it's like, hey, who wants some cake? And everyone just sort of looks down and walks out. I felt bad. You can't take cake, by the way.
But you could have apple pie, strawberry pie. They would have eaten that. Yeah.
Let me tell you this. Will, just let me tell you real fast. So we'll go right back. Back to the phones. Just tell you how cake works. Cake works. I've been to a million parties with the cake. You sit there. You're drinking a beer. Some chick. It's not the birthday party. It's not the chick who threw the party. It's her fat-ass lackey friend who has to mule the cake around. Poor pathetic chick has to walk around. Here's some cake. Would you like some cake? Everyone's like, no, thanks. I'm good. And then this one. I'm just going to set it down. And I'm cool. No, I'll set it on the sofa. I'll set it on the arm of it. Yeah, yeah. And then at the end of the night, you're throwing away a bunch of cake that cigarettes put out in it, and a little finger frost. You can see where the guy put his finger in the frosting, whatever. That's what happens with cake. Pie. You don't have to pimp pie. Pie pimps itself. When I throw parties, my birthday parties,
empty tins.
You put the pies out on the table. You got to keep people away.
Right.
People are going, hey, no, we're not cutting into those yet. We're going to finish eating. Then you get into the pie. Yeah. And you set it out. You don't have to go spread pie around. You don't pimp pie.
Right.
You pimp cake. You don't pimp pie.
Cake you can't wait to get rid of, but pie, you're not going to cut a slice off unless you got a taker.
Yeah, let me tell you, you don't get into the dessert argument with pie. Cake is always like, hey, have some cake. No, I'm good. No, this is some cake. What kind of cake is it? Is it a vanilla sheet cake? Oh, no, I'm fine. Well, I'll just set it down. You think about it. No, pie, there's none of that. No, you go, pie sells itself. Pie's like a product that doesn't need a commercial.
Pie goes pow.
Please. I played Pie Goes Pow, by the way, last week in
Did
Vegas.
Did you win?
Yeah, it'd be great.
You play it down in the City of Commerce.
Yeah.
That's right.
Pie goes pow. Rachel?
Rachel.
May have put her to sleep
she
with
went
my
pow.
Pie discussion.
She went pow. Try number two.
All right, number two. Lindsay?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's your question?
I was wondering if you starve yourself if you can miscarry a baby that way.
I think you probably could, right, Drew?
Actually, I'm sure it's possible, but you'd probably die before you miscarried.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why? What's up, Lindsay? And let me tell you something about the way nature and the big man upstairs works. The only people that miscarry are really the people who have been trying to get pregnant for 14 years, you know, successful attorney couples and things like
amazing.
That with the room already decorated. They miscarry. The white trashers from Salt Lake who don't want the kid because the old man's abusive, that kid goes to term and no problems there. Strong as a horse. So, Lindsay,
if you need to terminate the pregnancy, how pregnant are you?
I'm not sure, like maybe a couple weeks.
Well, have you had a pregnancy test yet?
Mm-mm.
So you're not pregnant as far as you're, have any idea.
So I'm pretty much 100%, close to 100% sure.
Your 100% is like everyone else's 18 to 20%,
missing
right?
A period does not make you pregnant.
Oh, I know, I know that.
So how can you be 100% sure you're pregnant? without a test?
Well, I'm not saying 100%, but pretty sure, because I know my body pretty well, and, like, my, you know, I mean, I've thought I've been pregnant before, and I hadn't been, but I'm pretty sure.
Man. Hold on. Well, Lindsay was on the speech and debate team in high school.
Yeah, it's quite a strong argument she's making.
Well, I call that, that's touche. That's game, set, match, Drew.
So yeah. I know my body.
You better keep, yeah.
I've been pregnant before and been wrong.
I thought I was pregnant before, yeah. But I was wrong.
Yeah, I thought I was pregnant before, wrong. Right. And now I think I'm pregnant again.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well.
Sounds like the leader of this country.
You make quite a compelling case there, Lindsay. There's really no arguing that you're pregnant now. Not by any sane or rational person. I mean, you almost have to be, right? Yeah.
I know it, like, you think I'm, like, being stupid or something, but I'm, like, serious.
Well, I know. But what about the other times you thought you were pregnant and you weren't, but you know your body?
Well, because, like, I thought maybe, like, the condom broke or something like that, you know? Like, you know, people have times when they're, like, not.
That's the other thing. It's like when kids argue. It's like someone brings up a valid point that you have to sort of address.
Dismissed.
And you go, I'm just going to pick another angle because I feel like I'm cornered over here. I'll just hop into another chess set.
Yeah.
That's what these... by the way, politicians do nothing but this, too. Yeah. It's like, as soon as they get cornered in this chess game, I'll just hop over and land on another chessboard over here, and I'll start a new game.
Yeah,
I'll just not answer whatever the valid question that was brought up.
Let's get past all this.
I'm past all this.
Yes.
Who's the... you like pie or cake better?
Pie.
Smart. Okay, baby. Let's talk. Let's talk. What can we do to help you?
Are you? Who was the father?
I don't know if I want to abort because this is a person that is going to genetically,
inclined.
You know, nature or nurture. Yeah. This kid's going to like pie.
Yeah. You create an army.
Who's the guy?
He's just this guy I met.
Why are you having sex with all these guys unprotected and not taking care of yourself? What's going on?
I don't know. I'm pretty, like, sexually compulsive, and I try not to be, but, like...
Were you sexually abused growing up?
I don't think so.
Were you physically abused?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your parents weren't pie people, though, were they?
My dad loves pie.
Oh, really?
Was he the abuser?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'll tell you, once in a while it happens.
That's a black mark on the pie eating.
I'm going to pull this guy's file when I get home, and we're going to look into this, because we can't take and eat what we call bad eggs or bad
meringue. At the break, I want to ask you who we
is.
It
is a front,
It's a front. It's a front. See, the pie is... Pie eating is like a Jeffrey Dahmer being...
These guys will do this. They'll be seen just bringing home empty pie tins and boxes, carrying them like their props. So, oh, well, there you go. He must be a decent
guy. It's a beard.
He's a smart guy. Look at him. He's got a new pie he brings home every day. Then he just throws it on the ground. It's filled with those packing peanuts, the styrofoam, and then starts beating the crap out of his kid.
Being an abuse survivor is what puts you... That causes a lot of this... shift in the motivational systems of your brain that make you do things you don't want to do.
Yes.
And one of the things that a primitive way of trying to control feelings and to feel better about yourself is to act out sexually. And you're doing that, and you're doing it to an extent that it's putting you in harm's way. How about looking into some help, some treatment with this? Because this is not good.
Yeah, she's calling from Salt Lake. She's not going to get any therapy.
Can turn to the church. Is she Mormon?
Turn to the church, Lindsay.
Oh, boy.
I've tried to get my tubes tied like 3 times and no one will do it.
Are you Mormon? No. I'm not talking about not getting pregnant so much as harming yourself many different
ways. Take care of yourself. What do you do? Do you work?
Are you Mormon?
No, I'm not Mormon and I don't work.
You don't work. What do you do all day besides have sex?
Not a whole lot.
How do you support yourself?
My parents support me. I had to move back in.
Okay. So, look, you're depressed.
Of course. Are you using drugs or alcohol?
Not really.
Yeah, just depression.
You're very depressed, Lindsay. I can hear it in your voice. How about a little therapy? Listen to a little classical music.
Or
do they allow classical music in Utah?
What? I lived in California for a while, and like when I was there, I got my brother. I was living with my brother, and he kicked me out. And then I got abducted when I was there and raped by this person, too. So that's why I had to come back, and I haven't really done much since I've been back. But I was, sexually compulsive before I got raped, too.
Who abducted you?
Some person off the street.
Were you prostituting yourself?
No. My brother had just dropped me off at the street, and I was trying to get to LAX, and before I could get there, then that happened. So.
They picked you up in their car?
Yeah.
Liz, you got to get some treatment.
No, I mean, it could happen. Yeah, I just want to know what happened. You call the cops or anything?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You're what?
Well, my sister, she, like, works on Capitol Hill and stuff, and I told her about it, and she said that, like, she could get him or whatever, get people to get him, and I wouldn't have to get involved or something, but I just said forget about it.
All right.
Hey, Lindsay, there's some that you need to get somewhere for a long-term, intensive interpersonal experience in a structured environment, some sort of place where you go and live and get some help, and this is going to take a little time here. There's a lot going on in Lindsay's head.
Well, a lot and a little.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
All right. A ton and not that much.
Yeah, Lindsay, really, seriously, commit yourself to a long-term course of treatment. You know, you've been living a chaotic lifestyle for a long time.
And
lots of trauma. No. It takes many, many, many months to repair this.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall in that conversation with the sister over on Capitol Hill.
I don't know if I really got that part.
Yeah, that's all right.
And why isn't the sister going, hey, let's get you some help? Not, we're going to get that guy. What the hell?
Well, to be fair to the sister, Capitol Hill mainly just deals in secondhand CDs. It's actually not the Washington one.
Right.
They have a lot of Sinatra stuff and old Elvis stuff. Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 24?
I am.
All right, so now you know how to keep the candle wax off the birthday cake?
Yeah, I do. You have to put a lifesaver at the bottom of the candle.
Yeah, Jennifer, he's not worried about the wax.
I got about halfway through that. Well, I was already on the phone when I figured out it's the snot and the bodily fluids that Adam's worried about.
The lifesaver at the bottom of the candle is not bad, although I don't have a lot of lifesavers on hand. You know, someone's going to have to make a run. Yeah, buy the roll. Okay, that's number one. But number two, there's the part where your sleeve is catching on fire because you've lit the first eight candles and you're reaching across the other one.
You got to
lit ones.
You got to start from the center, though, Adam. I mean, everybody knows that.
Well, these ones were arranged in a circle around the perimeter, and I found myself, you know, trying to light the other one and have it. I always try to go.
One goes out.
That's the other one, too.
Right.
And you try to get that last candle on a match where it's like, you got a match, that match is good for three candles, you're going for four.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets low.
Does the World War I thing apply to lighting candles, too? You know, that you can't light three cigarettes off one match?
Right.
Did you ever hear that?
It's bad luck,
It's bad luck because the first one the guys see you, the second one they take aim, and the third one they fire.
I wonder if
that works on candles on birthday.
I didn't know that was a World
Tell
War
that to
one
a four-year-old at his birthday.
Makes nice. Sense, yeah.
Nice image.
Well, you just run in a serpentine fashion while we blow these candles out so we don't get hit by sniper. I'm going to have my kid convinced there's a sniper looking for
at all times.
You guys are my great dad.
when that whole... Oh, it's so horrible. I shouldn't even repeat it. But when that whole sniper thing was going on.
Malvo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking about, you know, they're talking to psychologists. And they're telling them, you know, what do you tell the kids? What do you tell the kids? How do you tell the kids about this? Because, you know, kids are freaked out. I said, I was on Stern. I said, look, tell them the sniper only gets kids who don't clean their rooms. Now, everyone thinks that was a horrible thing to say, but let's think about it. It empowers the children. It's like,
they're in control of their environment.
I made my bed.
Yes.
I'm going to school wearing an orange vest.
Yes.
Right.
And a big bullseye hat.
Yeah.
I got no problems. I made my bed.
Right.
Meanwhile, statistically, they're not going to get shot.
No matter
but
what.
But as a kid, you don't understand one in a million. You think it's, you watch something on the news, it's, you're next.
Yeah.
But you made your bed.
Is that any worse than telling a kid that if he doesn't, pray or do his thing, that he's going to go to hell?
No, this is good pragmatic atheism here.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. And here's where I'm turning lemons into lemonade now. I got a kid who's going to school whistling, and his room is
clean.
Banking clean.
Bounce a quarter off of that bed. You know, it's like the barracks in a marine bunk, yeah?
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Break.
Let's take a little break. Will Arnett is here tonight from Arrested Development, Fox. Sunday Night, 9:30. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Will Arnett is here tonight. Will is from Arrested Development. He's also, who's he married to from SNL?
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler. That's right. It's a good episode last night. Ben Affleck was the host.
I saw him doing the prologue or the intro.
Yeah.
It was, he was good.
Yeah, he was
good.
Took
the piss out of himself.
Yeah.
We were playing poker alongside him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, his back was to us, right? Or to me.
He was sitting right next to me during the practice game.
He was?
Yeah.
City of Industry? Or?
Commerce.
City of Commerce, right? Yeah, God, City of Industry.
Way off.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're playing Kung Pao.
Pao.
Kung goes Pao.
Pie Pao.
Pie goes Pao.
Pie goes Pao.
Pie goes Pao. Pie goes Pao, Hold'em.
How'd you guys do it, Hold'em?
I couldn't wait to get out of there, so I just I just started effing up.
I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
Really?
Really surprised.
I couldn't... here's the whole thing. To me, I start getting angry. It reminds me of the guys who get caught up in the rotisserie football and baseball. I start getting angry at them as we're sitting there because they're all caught up. I sat at a table with these five pros that wanted to do nothing but talk about card playing while they're playing cards.
Yeah. Right.
It was like a guy who wanted to talk about screwing while he was on top of a woman while he was watching porn, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever, you're watching an NBA game and then they have a commercial for the NBA in between. You're like, hey, guys, I'm watching it. I don't know how much more of my time you can get than 100%.
Yeah. I like the more random one, which are natural gas. It's the future. It's like, you're going to go I'm going, I was a butane man. I was acetylene, man. Now I've seen this commercial. I'm going to tap a well. What do you want me to do? What do you want to do? Run a gas line in from Alaska? I got natural gas. What do you want me to do?
But I was intrigued by the poker world. It was like entering a parallel universe. They all knew each other. And it wasn't gambling. It was like a social world. It was like going to the Trekkie world, like in a Star Trek kind of thing. Yeah.
Social, if you want to just talk about poker.
But there's something. It's inherently depressing.
It is
at the heart
of it. Let's not overlook the fact that all these guys are losers.
Right.
Huge social losers. Right. Now they walk around like they're kings because in this very small niche they are kings.
Yeah.
I mean they strut around like roosters in there, and that's fine. But as soon as they get home, as soon as they leave the casino, they're losers. They're gambling. You know, they said, I don't know, we were talking to someone out front of the casino. She, ran the casino, and she was like, hey, you know, we got the Gambler's Walk of Fame over there. And T.J. Duckett, he's got his hands in the whatever. And I said, how about an Alcoholics Hall of Fame? You just have the guy's forehead in the cement. He fell over during the ceremony. I mean, the Gambler's Hall of Fame. I just have a Boozer's Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It really is.
Right. This is the history of guys who put their livelihood on the line night after night.
But they don't, though.
They write books on it and stuff. Look, there's some math involved. There's some skill involved. There's a bunch of things involved.
You gotta know how to
some shades wearing
it. You gotta know how
night.
To flip your chips with one hand.
You gotta do that with the chips. And here's the deal. These are 50-something-year-old guys who sit around and talk about other tournaments while they're in their tournament, who basically will play for 14 hours a day and get up the next day and play some more. That's a loser.
I had a bunch of young guys.
We can appreciate them for their math skills and their ability to have a poker face, but let's not forget they're losers. Let's never forget that. Don't ever forget that these guys are losers.
Yeah.
Even the winners, losers. They sit around and play a seven-card Texas Hold'em with a bunch of other 50-year-old guys whose kids hate them. They got a little girl. She's gone lesbian, and she's turning tricks and stuff because daddy's never home.
I was with young guys at my table.
All right. Well, these are the losers of the future.
Future losers.
After critical impact. So
I sat there for about 2 hours and thought, I got to get home. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, what do I think I'm doing here? I'm going to win this thing? No.
Yeah, here's what I did. I went, look, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win this. If I win, I'm going to be here for 9 hours. Yeah.
Right.
I got to go home.
We had radio way to get back to that night.
Right.
Too.
I got to work, and I don't want to hit traffic. And if I play my ass off, I might be here for about 3.5-4 hours, which should just put me into traffic as I'm trying to go home. Yeah. So I'm just going to throw all in and see if I can get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd be soundly ridiculed as soon as I got up from the table.
Oh, really?
I was like, hey, out? Yeah, I'm out.
Already?
It's like, I never had the heart to really tell everybody, listen, this is a tard fest here, okay? These are a bunch of idiots. These are losers. I want to go home. It's not. By the way, sitting around with the fat guys in their 50s talking about the game you're playing, who are total strangers for 6-7 hours of time, it's not that good a time.
Right.
It really is.
I, in the meantime, got beat by Nanny of Nanny and the Professor.
Phoebe Figure Lily.
And I got beat. I had a full house. I got beat with 4-9s.
Oh, true.
See, that is tough.
That was it. I was out.
Yeah.
I'm going to play one of these tournaments end of March. We're going to go to Vegas and do that and that Bravo thing. And I want to go all in before I even sit at the table. Like, they just introduce and then just go all in.
Go all in.
I'm all in.
Yeah.
Before they even shuffle
the
cards.
Because here's what you want. You want the free flight to Vegas.
Right.
You want the comped room.
Yes.
You want the per diem.
Yes.
And you want to get the hell out of there and hit a strip club with the men.
Well, I can't confirm or deny that.
Right. But you know what I'm
Everything
talking
else,
about.
Yes.
And here's the whole thing about... Okay, let me just say one more thing about the poker. Poker is a social thing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get together with your buddies.
Yes.
You're supposed to put some beers back and smoke some stogies.
And it's supposed to be about the bits that you do in between, not the actual...
You're supposed to bust everyone else's chops.
Right.
You're supposed to eat, you know, buffalo wings. That's what it is. It's not sitting with strangers in an intense environment for 7 hours at a time. Thank you. Alexis?
Yeah. Hi.
Hey. What's happening?
Nothing. I don't know. Like 2 weeks ago, I found out that my friend...
Hold on a second. I'm not done.
Oh, boy.
Here's all I'd like. Here's what I want in society. I've had an ass full of everybody with their, hey, I'm a maniac for the Red Sox, and I don't care who knows it. Like, I got the Sox jacket. I got the Sox hat. All I talk about is the Sox, or conversely, the Yankees, or whoever it is. That's all I do is talk about my team, or all I talk about is poker, and I'm into poker, and that's all I do is talk about poker. When you become an adult, you need to shut up about this stuff. You
Right.
should be embarrassed by it. In society, we should shame you into it. You know what I mean? You just talking about poker for 7 hours while you're playing poker and reading a poker book and keeping a poker face, you should be humiliated by this. That makes you a loser. You understand? And it's the same with you rotisserie football idiots. Just shut up.
Shut up.
I don't want to hear about your trades. It really is. It's like, look, you got a little hobby? Fine. I got my own hobbies. I do. I like
you masturbate
and
nap.
I like to pee in the sink. I like to beat off. I like to nap. I like to fly the model airplanes. I don't bother everybody with it. I have a quiet dignity, Drew.
You never talk masturbation.
Never.
Never talk about the model airplane.
Never brought it. Well, that's a noble hobby. How dare you? I'm out there. That's sport of kings. But if you count guys wearing
cut-off
sweatpants who live at home. And wear silk jackets that say Black Widow, you know, tank buster on the back of it, the P-38, you know. All right. Alexis?
Yes.
18, what's up?
Hi. Okay, so my friend, like, a week ago asked me if I could take her to get an abortion because she doesn't drive and a boyfriend doesn't drive, and she didn't want to tell her parents about it, like, that she was pregnant, but... I guess she wanted to do the responsible thing for however responsible you can be for getting pregnant and get an abortion because she knew she couldn't have the baby.
Right.
So I took her last week, and I don't know, I know it's like done now and there's nothing I can do about it now, but I felt really bad afterwards. Like I don't know if, was it like the right thing for me to do to like agree
it's
to
like,
do that?
You didn't rob the bank, but you were just in the getaway car out front. That's what
yeah.
you feel like. All right.
I felt really bad after, and also just after when she came out, when it was done and everything, it just like, it was like an awful experience, like because the whole time I was thinking about what was going on, and it really like, it you know, emotionally bothered her.
Well, here's the deal. You haven't created the law of the land.
Yeah.
You didn't get her pregnant. She was going to get an abortion no matter what. And maybe you've learned something very important about what abortions do to women and how you feel about them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
maybe you can take a position or be active in, you know, stating your case.
Right.
And certainly it's an important issue of our time, and if you want to get active, this may motivate you to do so.
Yeah.
All right?
All right.
Okay. I mean, you have a unique perspective now, and I think you ought to speak about it.
And you know, no one ever, everyone's either busy, you know, the sort of religious right-wing tard groups over there are busy, you know, trying to shoot doctors, and then the super left-wing commies are busy saying there's nothing wrong with it. And so it's something a little in between.
And Alexis has experience with it. She's felt it and seen it friend.
People,
and stuff.
As you say, don't talk about the emotional repercussions of this procedure.
Yeah, at least that. At least you will make women think about it before they rush off to do this as though it were nothing.
That's good times, though.
Yeah, it is good times.
Yeah. The Gamblers Hall of Fame, everybody.
Yeah. Hands in cement.
Hands in cement, right. Yeah. And by the way, is gambling good or is it bad? You know what I mean?
I thought it was illegal. Well, we have lottery. That's good.
Horse racing,
good.
Mm-hmm.
Betting on professional sports, bad.
Oh, well, yes.
Poker, good.
Poker's good.
Pai Gow, bad.
Well, no. Texas
Pai Gow's power, good.
Pai Gow is okay, but you
Blackjack, bad.
Couldn't just play back.
Bad.
So clear.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Evil.
It's
crystal clear. Satan's sport.
Have you ever been to Atlantic City, by the way?
No.
It's like the most depressing place.
That's what people say.
And you go to Vegas and people are playing craps and you know, people are gathered around and they're cheering and they're going nuts and they're there for a weekend. Atlantic City, they're just making rent.
Yeah. Really?
And it's like they win, they're like, great.
Yeah, and it is gambling is as much an addiction as alcohol or anything else.
Oh,
I mean, it sucks you in, and it can arguably ruin you just as fast,
if
not faster, than alcoholism or many other addictions.
UNLV has a laboratory, gambling laboratory, set up a casino, and they put college kids in, and they study their behavior and stuff, their biology in response to the gambling.
But by the way, UNLV, I was in Vegas, like I said, and I drove by their big stadium,
Smack.
the Thomas Mack Center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on the marquee, you know, that is of what is presumably a university
building.
It looks
like a hotel.
No, they got ads for slots and stuff. I'm like, what?
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, look, I think people should definitely have the right to gamble if they feel like it, but make no mistake, it can ruin you. It's you would not put it this way. You don't want your husband doing a lot of gambling.
I had to think long and hard whether I was going to do that poker event we did,
right.
You know, what that meant, and try to represent a point of view.
Finally, was able to make his decision when he realized he got a free Santa Anita tote.
I had to go.
You get that tote bag. Now you're good.
So a tote collection.
That was a travel channel tote.
Who decided that all the people that participate in all these things need a tote? I need a huge tote to tote the totes. I have millions of tote bags now.
My kids like those totes.
All right. It's a tote. I didn't even know what a tote was when
I know.
I would say, what are you toting? You're going anywhere.
They spend night at everybody's house.
All right, well, let them tote this stuff in a pillow sack like we did. A wrap, puts foot foil around it. I put my sleeping bag, a pillow, change underpants, and foil.
We should give them to hobos who have to usually use a stick with the thing.
With the bandana. The polka dots on it.
We should start giving out these swag totes.
Oh, that'll ruin everything.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Will Arnett here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Will Arnett is here tonight. Arrested Development is his show, Sunday nights, 9:30 on Fox. Will's good people. Like Will. He's good. He's level-headed.
A rapist.
and so he is.
Who
is that? This week on Hack.
All right, so it wasn't you on NBC doing that. What do you do besides the GMC commercials? Is that engineered?
Yeah, professional grade engineering.
Yeah, say that. Come on, give me
that. It's not more than you need, just more than you're used to.
That's right. It's true.
And it is true.
Unacceptable.
That's true. You don't need more, but because you've been dealing with other companies. Now, what if you've been dealing with GMC?
Yeah. Then you're used to it.
Really address
then you're used
that.
To
oh.
it.
Michael?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Bogus.
Yeah,
I got a question for Drew.
It's bogus, Michael. Whatever it is, we don't believe it.
We don't believe it.
You've got to pick it up in your attitude.
Yeah, your voice. It's all wrong.
No. Okay, well, I was at a party, and I was drinking, and some girl gave me oral sex, And turns out I got chlamydia from it. And I was wondering, if I gave another girl oral sex, is it possible to give it to her, even though, like, I didn't kiss her or anything?
That you would, that chlamydia would magically go from your penis to your mouth?
Well, yeah, I didn't, I don't know.
Can you get to yourself, you know what I'm saying?
No, no.
Are you from Nantucket?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because there once was this guy, Drew. Remember
from
him?
Nantucket?
Yeah.
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 No, Michael, your chlamydia is transmitted by, if it's on the penis. In her case, it evidently was in her throat, which is sort of such a thing.
Yeah, and, I don't. I mean, still don't believe you,
but whatever. It's and so yeah. If you have,
who would blow Michael?
And by the way, once you have your chlamydia is treated with a single dose of antibiotic, and then it's over. So presumably you've got that, and so it's over for you anyway.
All right, let's talk to young Rachel. Rachel.
Hey guys.
26. What's happening, baby doll?
Well, coming off a divorce, recovering Mormon, and dating. I've always been the one that's had a boyfriend. Now I just date a lot of guys.
Alrighty.
I've got some friends who think maybe I'm sleeping with too many of them. I rotate between about 4 and 5 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sex a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. I'm always careful, condoms, birth control, all that.
You're more
right. Now you separate them, or do they have to tag in?
Well, I try not to have too many of them in one day, obviously.
Alright.
You know, I just there's no ties, no commitment.
All right, so you must
they
have
don't know that I'm doing this though.
Okay, quiet down. You must have had a horrible relationship.
You're coming off of
that. You're coming out of.
He was a good little Mormon boy, as far as everybody thought, and really ended up being a porn thief.
Yeah. All right. So men cannot be trusted. Their phone's so bad. Do you have any kids?
No.
All right. Do what you want.
There you go.
I don't care. Listen, here's the thing. You don't, obviously what you're doing is compensation.
You're acting out. Yeah.
And you're acting out, and you came off a relationship where you got screwed. Now you don't trust guys, so the way you won't, you can avoid intimacy is just be ironically intimate with a dozen guys.
Yeah.
Fine. Do what you want. Get out of your system, and in a year you'll be ready to get married if, then you don't get worn out down there, which I've seen happen. Yeah.
Or these guys don't try to kill each other, or you.
Yeah, whatever. Keep in mind, you're dealing with 5 guys. Yeah. One of them may have a pistol and a 40-ouncer somewhere.
Right.
That's about all it takes with guys. But if you don't have any kids, you're screwing up, and you're not cheating on anybody, knock yourself out. We don't judge here.
Have you guys read Under the Banner of Heaven, by the way?
No, what's that?
I don't read. I believe it poisons
the
mind.
Go ahead.
It's that Krakauer book about Mormonism. It's
intense.
Really intense.
Speaking of crack hour, it's getting to that time. Crack hour, for me, it's 12:30. Yeah, Sunday nights. Yeah, so I got to get moving here.
I didn't even know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, old lady starts heating up the pipe about 12:15. Okay, come home, get my slippers on. 12:30, Sunday nights, crack hour.
This is the New American Family.
That's right. Jim?
Yeah.
You're 21. Your girlfriend cheated with your best friend, and they don't know you know.
Exactly.
All right.
But it's a little more complicated than that. I've been dating her for about a year and a half now, and everything I thought was going great. Then all of a sudden, about 3 days ago, this buddy of mine, who's a really good friend of mine, sits me down and tells me that this other friend of mine was telling him that he had sex with him and had, like, a lot of details and stuff. And so it's a real credible story. And I don't know how to confront my girlfriend or him or what I'm supposed to do.
All right. Well, you got to break up with her. And this guy's your best friend?
Yeah.
There's no point in confronting anybody. They're both done. What does it do? All you're going to hear is denials. You're going to question your own judgment. They're going to try to, you know, make it your fault or somebody. They're going to blame, deny, whatever.
Yeah.
You're done. Just get out.
Listen.
Both of them
here,
out.
Here's the saddest.
Pow, finished.
Here's the sad. Look, it's not the stuff of TV movies, but really what you got to do is you pick up the phone, you call her, and you go, listen, we're over. And if she goes, what are you talking about? You know. I think you know why.
Yeah.
And let's just do it in a dignified way. And if I change my mind, I'll call you.
Yeah.
You hang up. You call him. You say, listen, we won't be talking for a little while. But, you know, I think you know why. If I change my mind, I'll call you.
But stay with me.
But you're saying that there's no way that he can go and make this big speech in front of a bunch of people in public, and then all of a sudden a slow clap build starts, and his point is recognized, and everybody sees
that. True. Slow. Hold on. Slow clap. No. Yeah, I'm going to be the guy who starts it. I started first.
Wait, no. You need at least three or four by himself.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Three of mine. I can't believe Drew had to give you an acting.
I know. He's right.
Now you're going to kill yourself. Right, here we go.
I was on a film, you know.
Oh, that's right. Drew hits the mic. Right, that's how it would go. Yeah, and then it turns to that. Yeah. I miss that big slow build.
Yeah. Don't you wish you could have John Hughes with you to tell you how to handle every moment, pivotal moments in your life?
Yeah. Like this is slow clap.
Enter the gym and...
Right. Yeah. And when you say your statement, I'll do the record scratch. I like a sound effects guy with me, too. I throw my back out. Boing.
Hey, good.
It's not funny. I'm hurt. Yeah, like a record scratch. Yeah. Yeah. When everyone turns and looks at me, that's what we hear. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a little break. Will Arnett here tonight? Got some interesting ideas, this kid. Arrested Development, name of the show. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Will Arnett here, everybody. And that's it. Say bye to him.
Yeah. Bye, Will.
Yeah, see you guys.
Yeah.
This
Good
is great.
Seeing you.
It was fun to be here.
Amy Poehler's his wife, by the way. And you can get her on this show if she ever get out to L.A.
Yeah, next time she's out here.
When is that?
We're done, so I go back. But maybe in, like, May.
Right. And get on that.
Yeah.
I love SNL. Yeah. Always a fan of the show. Arrested Development, everyone. Sunday night, 9:30 on Fox.
A rapist.
Please, the mics are still hot.
Will, a rapist, Arnett.
Yes. Always a delight. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
My dad loves pie.
Oh, really?
Is he the abuser?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'll tell you, once in a while it happens.
That's a black mark on the pie eating.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.